And now we have another edition of As the Worm Turns with Lance the Gardener. Lance, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Good. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoying this lots of moisture.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got on another line today, Aaron Heidemann, and he's going to talk some about permaculture, agriculture, and the techniques with that. Just an introduction, then we'll go from there.
Okay, that
sounds
good.
So, Aaron, how are you?
Great, Lance. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Good to have you here.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you. Well, let's see. I'll just jump in a bit.
Okay.
Permaculture, because that's Lance asked me to talk a little bit about it. And the word itself originated from a couple Australians, David Holmgren and Bill Mullison. And it came out of, like, David was a graduate student at the university where Bill was a teacher, and Bill was David's advisor. So the first permaculture book was actually David Holmgren's graduate thesis, and that was called Permaculture One. And I had the really fortunate opportunity to spend some time with David in Australia while I was studying permaculture. And, you know, he said the real origins of it are in observation of natural systems, that nature demonstrates a lot of characteristics that he was attempting to explain and move into agricultural and even cultural arenas. So characteristics like stability and adaptation that happen in ecosystems, or the fact that there is very little waste happening, like things, nutrients are cycled and everything kind of has a use for something else. Those are like all those functional interconnections between the different elements in an ecology. And so what he was trying to do then, and what they were trying to do, is develop a system to take those, what they observed in nature, and adapt that into a system that was usable by people to develop our own agricultural, even cultural systems. And by cultural, that could be towns or, you know, communities. And so the real goal there was to create long-lasting systems that demonstrated many of the characteristics that were observed in natural systems. And to sort of encapsulate this process, they felt like it needed some sort of ethical code or some sort of core sense of responsibility, because it was a scientific system that they were building, but they wanted to like create a foundation that was ethics. And the ethics that they eventually stated and are the sort of root ethics or responsibilities that permaculture embraces are really simple. And there's three of them. And the first is people care, that really what we're trying to do is take care of people.
Okay.
And so that's the sort of social element. It's a very human-oriented system. And then the next ethic would be earth care. And again, that's, you know, the environmental scope, the environment that we live in is important, and our actions should take care of people and the earth.
Wow.
And so the last ethic is something along the lines of cycling surpluses, which would be, you know, addressing the natural cycles that happen that we can observe, mm-hmm. and bringing that and making sure those cycles are within our system, that we're not attempting to accumulate things that, and in a way, it's the natural economics. It's the economics of nature, that energy is always moved from place to place. And by the movement of it from place to place, the needs of everything is met.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like taking advantage of what nature gives you.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty simple in that sense, that observation and some common sense, most of the principles and methods and techniques of permaculture can be discovered, you could say, by anyone.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't attempt to be really overly complex, although it has gathered a large body of tools and methods. And sort of that's the body of the information. Like, once you know what you're trying to do by creating these lasting systems, then the question is how.
Uh-huh.
And so that...
Yeah, I got a question along those lines. You know, obviously it looks like we're going to have an abundance of moisture this year. The snowpack level is above normal now, and of course this recent storm has been very good to us. How can farmers and gardeners take advantage of all this moisture?
Well, I'm sure Lance could have some input on that as well.
Soil down here will be, instead of going into spring or summer dry, it'll actually have water in it, so it won't take as much water to get things up and going in the spring. And if you keep it moist, if there is that, if it does not turn into a dry spring, then the moisture level in the soils will stay good, and it won't take as much water to keep things growing, and therefore you'll have a steady growth throughout the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then are there ways from a permaculture perspective that we can kind of bank this water for the future in our soils?
Yeah, well, as permaculture is a collection of tools, some of the tools and the specific techniques would be, people in wetter places use hugel culture systems, which is sort of deep trenches filled with wood and decaying matter to conserve moisture. And I know a few people around here are experimenting with this as they're sort of, it's like little water banks to hold water and keep it longer in the soil.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, like building good soil, the better quality your soil is with the more organic matter, that's going to hold more water.
Uh-huh.
There's techniques using snow fences where you create some shade and on the north side of a building, the water is there and it's lasting longer. So those are some of the, those are really like simple techniques. In the larger scope of a permaculture system, you would be thinking about both years of drought and years of extra moisture as part of your overall plan for your landscape. So
mm-hmm.
you might have, holding tanks, whether or ponds or, different earthworks, like swales are a common thing with an on-contour berm that sort of collects the snow and the moisture behind it and then releases it.
Uh-huh. So
yeah, there's actually one other thing. I don't think this is permaculture, but there's a book called The Plowman's Folly. And deep tillage, you'll lose your water. Do shallow tilling or just on the surface 2 inches. So, because what happens with the deep tillage, the moisture that's down deep in the soil, when you do deep tillage, the layers of soil lose connection, and that mm-hmm. water down low can't come up because you've tilled it too deep.
So that's, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's if anybody can get that book, The Plowman's Folly, it was pretty amazing. I think I have a copy of that, if anybody might want to read that. But it's about the deep tillage and what that really does. It breaks the connectiveness, or whatever you want to call it, from the different layers, so that the water, on a year like this where we're getting so much moisture, that you break that straw, shall we say, straw effect, and the water from the deeper soils can't come up to the surface.
Oh, wow. Okay. It kind of seems to me like if you did deep tillage, that would cause the moisture deep in the soil to kind of evaporate faster.
Yeah. It doesn't come up is what it happens. You break the
okay.
roots in the different layers. So.
Uh-huh.
But organic matter is the way to go if you really, soil tilt is the way to hold the most moisture you can in the soil.
Mm-hmm. And so, and just put that down in the first couple of inches of the soil, and leave
the worms. The worms will take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and there's also building your I don't know, say in a pasture where you have early greening grasses or legumes that are gonna come out early and green up while the moisture is still in the ground, and that's a pretty common strategy, not just in permaculture, but just across the board for catching the moisture as it's in the ground. So perennial plants are pretty good at that. You know, the local ecology here with the juniper trees that are evergreen are really able to use the moisture when it's there, because they're able to photosynthesize a little bit on a sunny day while there is moisture in the ground. And so sort of tapping into those edges, seasonal edges, where coming out of a wet winter into a wet spring, we would have plants designed into our farming systems that would take advantage of that naturally. So we wouldn't have to do a whole lot ourselves, but just watch as our established plantings benefit from the extra moisture.
Okay. Aaron, I've been reading a little bit on permaculture, and I think I've been reading about building plant guilds.
Uh-huh.
And can you go into that a little bit, especially like for fruit trees?
Yeah, absolutely. Drawing from an ecological sort of viewpoint, and then adapting that to our own methods, you would look at a forest, say a carpet. You know, if you how is that tree the animals around it, name that into other animals serve to have nutrients at the surface of the soil, things like comfrey.
Established orchard, how far away from the tree would you want to plant the sorrel and yarrow and comfrey?
How far away did you plant yours there? Well, my trees are on, say, 12-foot spacings, and I just abstractly here or whatever, I just went and planted things around, but nothing was at the base of those trees. It was always, 5 and 10 feet away.
Yeah. 5 to 10, okay.
Yeah.
And that's on 12-foot spacing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then do you mulch around the trees when you newly plant them?
Maybe in the summertime you would mulch them just for moisture retention.
Uh-huh.
The problem with that is, especially for stone fruit, is the borers, the insects really like to live underneath that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and in the wintertime, I mentioned last fall on this show, having mulch real close to fruit trees in the wintertime, it's a home for the rodents, and they need to chew, so they will girdle trees.
Oh.
So that's why you at least pull the mulch 12 inches away from the tree.
Okay.
You know, that's the other thing.
Uh-huh. All right. Are there any special strains of yarrow or sorrel that you want to put in there?
I just have French sorrel.
Okay.
It's regular, and I eat it. It's a great solid thing. And then I have the native yarrow.
Okay.
The native one. I think what that's really doing is that's the nectar for beneficial insects.
Okay. And that's also a good medicinal plant, too.
What's really good for is you ever cut yourself, you're out in the garden, you cut yourself, grab some of that and put it on the cut. It will stop it from bleeding.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. So you're killing two and three birds with one stone.
Oh, yeah.
With all those. Okay.
Yeah. And just for the listeners out there, I think Wynn Clearwater planted one of the orchard blocks at Delicious Orchards in permaculture design. And he just did that last fall, so that'll be interesting to watch how that works for them out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they're using some lavender and mints in different places as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Aaron, I think that's about it for today.
Well, Aaron and Lance, I appreciate it.
Great.
You have anything else, Aaron? Real quick, or?
Not unless you've got a couple questions. I know there's it's a huge subject, so.
Yeah, it's a huge subject, and Aaron will be on with me next week. So if any of the listeners want to call in or leave a question on the website, that'd be great.
All right. Lance, can you give us the title of that book again?
Oh, that's Aaron's.
Or Aaron's?
Yeah. Which book are you referring to?
What was it? The Plowman's Folly?
Oh, that one. Excuse me. The Plowman's Folly.
Yeah. Okay. And then...
It was written in the 50s.
Okay. And is there any one good introductory book for permaculture that you would recommend?
I would say probably for a home gardener, Gaia's Garden is probably one of the best introductory books because it frames it within the realm of a home garden sort of situation.
Okay.
And Bill Mollison's Introduction to Permaculture is also a great, more theoretical sort of book on a good introductory.
Okay. Well, hey, Lance, Aaron, I appreciate all the information today and all the tips.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.